Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Look, when those people are doing their grocery shopping in their jammies, that means they haven't wiped their ass.
Of course.
They haven't. They haven't blown their nose. They haven't.
I had not thought about that.
They're as lazy with their personal hygiene as they are with their public demeanor.
And now That's cold and flu season, I never lick the basket.
The new Jeep Wrangler, it's got a brand new suspension, new body, 2019, gorgeous car. Always buy American. That's what I always say. I've never said that, but I like the Jeeps.
Yeah, even if you're paying, you know, $70,000 for a $10,000 car.
Yeah, that's what he was screaming when he bought the Audi.
Yeah, Jeep Wrangler. And this in from the peanut gallery, the control room, Maddie and Pony Boy. And I'm sorry, I know I'm breaking the fourth wall here, but it says,
what'd they say?
If little Michael gets more subscribers than big Michael, we're screwed.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Today's episode of The Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our bonus packages. Please go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click on the bonus banner. You'll get access to all of our bonus content, and even better, you'll be helping out TMOS. So please, quit sucking, and we thank you.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store, and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's pretend, if we will, for a second, that this is my finger and this screen is an Apple screen.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, that's right. Oh,
touch.
Oh, no response.
Touch, nothing.
Ooh.
I think it is the great overrated technology of modern times. I think if you want to really affect something, you have to press a button. Mm. I think the touch screens are. If you really went back and looked at it, now think about the modern era and how really remarkable it is that you just have a screen, a television screen, and you can touch it and it does things. But really, how many times per day, whether you're an iPad or a tablet or an iPhone or a Droid or anything you have that requires touch screen technology, how many times during the course of a day, or let's say a week, do you brush your fingers over that screen
and nothing happens?
And nothing really happens. Mm. Right. You have to go twice, three times, four times. Now, I'm just bitching.
I've never thought about it.
A la Charlie and Harrigan. Has no one ever fought that?
Has no one fought this?
I'm just bitching to bitch, but it's what I do.
Well, you know.
And I'm just kind of curious because you know what? Even on this show, when I'll have, let's say, L.A. Woman by the Doors.
Great song.
That I just hit, and it worked perfectly. Sometimes I will hit that four and five and six times to get it to go, because it's a screen. Yes.
Do you have a dainty touch?
Not at all. No, not at all. Quite the opposite. I kind of like to pop it like you would with a regular button.
Okay, that's exactly why I ask. I want you to touch it as a dainty man would, with a dainty touch.
All right, let me do it. I'll stop it right now.
Because we're used to instant replays, which are buttons.
Yeah, but there's something so satisfying about a button.
Which you smash. All right, let me just poke really
your belly
touch
button
it.
When you feel
I'm going to touch
urge.
It really gently. I like hardly touch it right now.
There's no satisfaction in that.
Hello?
Oh, sorry. Yes, we're waiting.
Hi.
Sorry.
Anyway, what do you want me to do?
I want you to daintily touch it.
Daintily?
Yes, daintily.
I think he said daintily.
Daintily.
He's right. It worked very nicely. That. Right. Now I'm going to touch another my country song.
All right, boys.
Okay, that worked very nice. Angels. I'm hardly touching it. Do you say? Are you telling me that I touch it too hard?
And you don't. You don't.
But there's also different kinds of touches because I've got a new soundboard.
Now you use them more than anybody else. You are the iPad guy, and I see Rob sometimes try to hit something. What 10 times where you're trying with your face? What now? What? Why?
He's got
why
ham
are you?
Hands, though.
What's that?
Funny.
When he goes to touch
look
it,
look at him. He's having fun.
He's so tentative. He doesn't know what he's hitting half the time.
But would
no,
you
that's
agree,
not true at all.
Would you agree? Of all the people here, he is the one that probably uses that technology and those buttons.
The problem
more than
is that I went through. I had an issue at about the turn of the new year. Is that one of my iPads auto-updated.
Oh, that's the case. I'm sorry.
Whoa. Hold on a second. You can't just roll into this conversation and say you had a problem at the beginning of the year. You've had a problem for how long have you used iPads?
I'm trying for seven years. I want you to understand a particular problem is that I had to change the soundboard software on one of the iPads.
Got smaller buttons.
You're going to get into the weeds of all your minutiae, and
no,
I can't handle
Mike,
it this morning.
Would you just give me a second, man?
All right, I'll give you a second, but I mean, I'm on a subject.
Talk about touch.
And you're taking me down a bunny trail.
This new touchpad technology on this app has different touches for different functions. For example, if I want to rename a button on it, I have to put my finger on it and hold it for a certain amount of time, and then a menu pops up. But if I do it too hard, or if I move my finger, it's going to play. Or if I move my finger, it moves the button. So I'm right with you.
Why would you be changing that? I'm talking about just, trying.
You kind of sound like two men talking about how to hook up with a girl. Like, really, all
you know what I'm trying to do? I'm trying to make this relatable to an audience, and he doesn't know about that, and never has. I'm trying to make it general and easy to understand, and he's going,
well, my software update in 2019.
I mean,
boy,
I'm really,
you are the
really,
toughest guy to agree with.
No, it's not
I'm
a question
telling
of agreement.
You that it
I'm
is.
Trying to, you're telling your stories, which, Rob Spiewak, all right, if you give a monologue, Rob, you will give a monologue that I will say, I went to the grocery store and I saw a woman throw up in the aisle.
Okay.
You will tell a story by saying, Tuesday is usually grocery day, and I took my car. Carrie brought the Kia, and I had the thing, and then I went to the grocery because we need bread. Normally on Tuesdays, bread. That's the difference between the way you tell a story. I cut to the chase, and you like to pepper yours because yours are enjoyable. You wouldn't have the mob if they weren't enjoyable. But you tell a different story. So I'm bringing this sort of
but I do
general
hate
ditch.
The touch screen as well is what I'm saying. Yes. Is that it's very vague, and it's not consistent. And I think you agree with me there.
Yes, sure. All I'm trying to say is that touching these buttons can be problematic.
Now,
is the first
word
problem? Yes, it is. Yes.
Are the buttons too small, you think?
No. How many times have I met? And by the way, we spoke to it earlier that maybe if you have the light touch, but I've been conditioned to
smashing buttons.
Play buttons on an audio
we
board
all have. We
for
all
my,
have.
My mm-hmm. whole career.
The only reason.
And so if you.
The only reason I mentioned the velocity and veracity?
No, that would be the truthfulness of the button. No, the velocity.
Velocity? Viscosity?
No, that's the oil.
Oh, damn it.
All right, I'm going to hit Bob Seger, her strut, and I'm going to hit it hard and see what happens.
Okay.
That worked.
All right.
That didn't. When I went to stop it, that didn't. Now I'm hitting it again. It's not working. Now I'm going to touch it gently.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, I may have got. Where do you line up on this? I'm trying to, and without the software updates, where do you line up with this?
I find that each app on the phone or the iPad that requires touch, they're inconsistent with each other. Each app requires a different touch.
Okay, but just work with the one that Mike's using. Use the same one that Mike is using.
If he's using, I
give
think
me a moment, you- please. Listen to me.
And I agree that the soundboard that you use, which is the one I use, is not easy because it seems to not have any. If you hit hard, sometimes it works. If you hit soft, sometimes it doesn't work.
So it's inconsistent.
It is inconsistent, and I hate it too.
Why don't you try the same experiment?
All right.
What are you going
to
play for?
The one that's the similar to Mike's, not your new guy.
Yeah, the identical one. This is the same one that Mike uses.
Yes.
All right, I have here the theme to CBS football. I will graze it lightly.
All right. You are looking live.
All right.
You are looking live. I was trying to pretend that I was on the recording.
That was really great. I loved it. Awesome.
Okay, but now I'm gonna smash it like I would a button if it was a real tangible button. Okay.
Oh!
Hey! And by the way, Rob will tell you this now. I know we can completely agree on this. When we're trying to demonstrate a fail, it will never fail.
Right.
Yeah. It will never fail. The god of iPad technology will go, I'll show those guys up.
Right.
It's only when you really want to be clever and play something. You know what I mean? All right. It's working. I'm done. I'm not pitching
about
it.
Have you ever tried the... I thought you guys... Mike, I thought you were going to go towards more of a public touch screen like they have at your kiosk at CVS or your little...
I don't like touch screens at all. I don't like touch screens at the airport. I don't like touchscreens.
I agree.
Yeah.
So what I
care
do
for them.
Is because I think it's a land of germ disease. I'll use my knuckle,
Well, you're still getting the germs on your hand, then.
I get it, but I'm not using my finger, right?
All right, yeah.
So I'm using my knuckle if I don't have a glove.
Do you feel
on.
As though the germs will enter your body more through the palm or the fingertip as opposed to the knuckle?
I always wonder if the person next to me is seeing me rock my knuckle, just put in my phone number and then all my information. At CVS especially, because you're doing so fast that she's like, oh, that guy's got a nub for a finger. Because I'm never using my finger. I'm just using my...
Do you sanitize, since we're now
which
on another
fine.
Subject,
you know, wrong
do
that.
You sanitize the shopping cart when you go to a grocery store?
No, I don't do shopping, Mike. My wife does. So.
Excuse me.
Hey, Mike.
Excuse me, Hugh Hefner. I didn't realize you don't do your own shopping.
Maybe we should be hitting our iPads with our knuckle.
Try that.
Okay, right, that's just the index.
But that's really hard to do for me, a lefty over here, but I'll do...
Oh, it's not working at all.
I'll do taking it to the streets. All right, shut yours off. Here we go. It works. Let me go. No, but it... See, it starts, but it doesn't stop. And quite often, stopping is more important.
Have you tried your toe?
Well, okay. Can I get back to this?
Oh, sorry.
Do you sanitize, Rob, when you go to a store?
No,
like,
I don't.
Like, take the sheet that they offer you.
No.
I do it probably 50% of the time.
I have a weird feeling that the sani wipes that they give at a grocery store are just as germ-filled as the cart somehow.
You might be right. You might be absolutely right. But if you go, you know, if you go to the second one, like, I'll go to the first one, I'll do a wipe, and then I'll take a second one. If I do it, I really do a thorough wipe. But yeah, it is kind of gross. But when you really consider, take a look at the grocery store or the big box stores that you go to, and take a look around and realize, look, when those people are doing their grocery shopping in their jammies, that means they haven't wiped their ass.
Of course.
They haven't blown their nose. They haven't.
They're
as lazy with their personal hygiene as they are with their public demeanor.
And now that it's cold and flu season, I never lick the basket.
Oh.
That's it.
My God.
You got to stay away from that. Even if it looks like, even if it looks like it's really good, don't lick the basket.
I have to ask how your polar vortex is. How is your polar vortex?
It was the kind of morning that I wish I was one of those fancy lads with a heated steering wheel, because it was 11 when I left my house today.
Right.
It's very, very cold. We did get a decent amount of snow in Leesburg yesterday. I got to drive home, and it turned a delightful trip into about 2 hours.
How many inches?
3.5 inches
at
my house.
That's significant.
During rush hour, it was bad, nasty.
Do you still err on the side of loving the winter?
Yeah, I do like winter. I do. I wish
even when it's like this?
Winter sucks.
I would have rather have been home watching the snow than driving in it. But it's pretty. It's exciting. It's exciting weather.
All right, so you don't mind it.
No.
You still don't mind it.
No.
All right, what about
you? And we
you?
Just got a text. The power has been restored in Leesburg, Virginia.
Woo!
So the kids and the wife with the day off
Woo!
Can watch television.
Woo!
Woo!
Oh,
Maybe she can catch up on her emails.
Perhaps she will.
Anyway, Oscar Santana.
Yesterday, as we left Podcast Village, Rob Ford, Shannon, Santos, and I around, let's say, 8:35.
Mm-hmm.
I had a quick business meeting with Rob around 8 o'clock. I remember, thank you for picking up the phone. And I was like, man, it can't be that cold outside. You walk outside, it's freezing.
Yeah, really
and
cold.
And then last night, for some reason, one reason or another, I just couldn't go to bed. It was like 2 a.m. So I'm mowing through emails. So if you guys got an email from me, I apologize. I'm not a psychopath. I was just catching up.
Right.
And I look at my phone and I'm like, it is 14 degrees outside. Mm-hmm. And I said, I wonder what it's like in Scottsdale, Arizona or Phoenix right now, close to middle of the night. It's 60 degrees and it's cold for them, right?
Yeah, they're complaining.
They're complaining.
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
They're salting the roads.
The one guy that's living on Easy Street, the sunny side of what is this wonderful green earth or North America at the moment, is Mr. Mike O'Mara. How cold was it last night?
60 degrees.
Oh, that would have been
nice.
And
maybe 47 this morning.
What was the humidity like?
Dry, relatively dry.
47 is like, that's a vortex for you guys, though. 47.
That's cold for us. It's a different, I can't give you temperatures. I can just give you the feel. I was out of doors yesterday and felt, I felt it was cold, but the temperature reading wasn't cold. It said 60. That's cold for down here.
Yeah, well, your blood's thinned down. That's what happens.
But listen,
he's older.
I'm looking at the stats here. Dangerously cold conditions now settling into the Midwest, even where you guys are.
Yeah, 14 degrees
ain't like what it's going to be. Yeah. Parts of the Midwest will see their coldest weather in at least 2 decades.
Mm-hmm.
Wind chills will fall into the 40s 50s, and even 60s below zero. That's you die.
That's Emperor Penguin time.
I was talking with a couple of guys, friends of mine from Chicago, who indicated that that you've got a tremendous homeless population that does not use shelters in Chicago. They cannot. They don't go. They're people that have these issues don't like to be. Who would want to? A lot of people would be freaked out to go to the shelter. This is potentially fatal. Like it's never been fatal if they can't get these people off the street. The Northeast will also see bitterly cold temperatures. You're getting it, 14 degrees. But can you imagine 60 in an American city, in a modern American city, 60 degrees below zero?
It's like day after tomorrow.
And the wind chills are dangerous. Uh-oh. And some cities, their lowest levels in more than two decades. One instigator for the outbreak cold air is a displacement of a lobe of the polar vortex.
Oh, dear. I hate when a lobe gets displaced.
Get some
Chicago's O'Hare Airport dipped to minus 23 degrees this morning. That's their coldest temperature in 34 years, when their all-time record low of minus 27 degrees was set. It plunged to minus 30 degrees Wednesday morning at the National Weather Service office in La Crosse, Wisconsin. That's just amazing.
And here's the other side of the coin is that prognosticators are saying next Tuesday will be roughly 60 degrees in Washington, D.C. So if you think there's nothing weird going on with our weather, really, you're absolutely right.
I love wind that we're getting all in the 60s. One month.
Wind chills in the 60s below zero have been recorded in parts of Minnesota, North Dakota, even as far south as Northeast Iowa.
Yeah.
Hi, Steve Bridges. Happy 70th. Where Charles City registered that bone-chilling value just before midnight last night. A minus 66-degree wind chill north of Ponsford, Minnesota. Where are you from? Oh, I'm from Ponsford.
Yeah, it's Ponsford. Cold then.
And when I look at the map, as I'm looking at it right now,
yeah,
it's a beautifully done cold map where you see right about where you guys are. You got single digits today. 9 degrees, 17 degrees. And then you just go into the middle, right up around the Great Lakes. Minus 51, minus 57, minus 56. We got a lot of listeners in that part of the country. Really, really, my heart goes out to people dealing with that. That's stop your car crap, right? That's the car doesn't
start. Well, I was thinking about the Die Hard commercials when we were kids.
Mm-hmm.
When if anybody that just at any big sporting event, they have these Die Hard commercials where they'd walk out into a valley of parking lot covered in snow. And the only car that's actually starting up are these like rated Die Hard for the Arctic Wind batteries on these cars. And I was sitting there, I was like, I don't know if they were rated for minus 60.
Yeah, well, you plan for, sort of the big picture.
Right?
Doesn't happen a lot.
How do you get that on the market?
In the town where my father-in-law lived, which was really far from even Des Moines, it was in the middle of nowhere, Iowa, they had engine heaters, and you would see cars.
Block heaters.
Yeah, they had like cords hanging out of the front of their car, and it was just to keep your car engine like at maybe 20 degrees.
I kid you not. Mike, I like to build cars online I can't afford or I don't need. And one of them happened
to be. It's a sad little thing, but it's like window shopping for dudes.
So the new Jeep Wrangler, it's got a brand new suspension, new body, 2019, gorgeous car. Always buy American. That's what I always say. I've never said that, but I like the Jeeps.
Yeah. Even if you're paying, $70,000 for a $10,000 car.
Yeah, that's what he was screaming when he bought the Audi.
Yeah, Jeep Wrangler. Mopar or go home.
There you go.
That's how I roll.
He got you there. He got you.
Oh, no, I never
He really
American.
Zinged you there.
It's a fact. I'm a European or Japanese car guy. That's always been.
Well, you salute your heritage.
Yes. That's
because
probably
he is Japanese.
I like the lines of a Lexus, like the Japanese side in me. That really brings out the Japanese in me. Now, let me say this. And the Toyota.
New Nissan Favela. The Nissan Favela, made and manufactured in La Paz.
Yes, or Brazil.
Brazil.
Mike.
Yes.
The Jeep comes with an optional engine block heater. I think most of these Chryslers do.
Oh, wow.
And I sat there as I'm building it. I'm like, I'm not going to pay $600 more for an engine block heater. It never gets cold here. Mm-hmm. Literally saying that 2 days ago when I'm building that thing.
You got the lucky.
Yeah, I'm like, why
he's
would I?
He's the lucky guy.
Why would you ever need an engine block heater? I'm never going to be out.
It's a mythical car. Buy yourself a mythical heater.
Well, you clearly need one. If it's minus 60, polar vortex.
It's just 50. When you see 56, 57, 66 degrees below zero, you guys are really kind of fortunate. I mean, you're going to have wind chill alerts tomorrow. You've got a wind chill advisory tomorrow morning. Maybe today also. I'm not sure how long it lasts. But when you're talking about the real scary stuff, it's up in Minneapolis, Green Bay, you know, all those cold spots, Chicago. So for all those people that listen to us up there, hang in there. Hang in there, and I hope everything goes all right for you. And for God's sakes, don't buy an iPad. See, I always bring it back full circle. That's the way it goes. And do you have any other stories you'd like to tell with extraordinary levels of detail?
Mike, as you know, it is January 30th, and that is the day that comes one day before the last day of January. I like to call it the penultimate day of January.
It's the 31st.
That was rich with detail. Now we can start the show. Thank you.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show.
Are
you done? Yes. www.mikeomaraShow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
Miss Crawford, I'm Belinda Rosenberg, Christina's producer.
How do you do, Miss Rosenberg?
Fine. Thank you so much for calling us. How is she?
She'll be fine.
Oh,
it was an ovarian tumor, but completely benign, thank God.
You.
Thank God. Tell me this won't affect her job in any way, would it?
Well, how long will she be here?
Well, the doctor's not sure yet. Tell you what. Let me call you tomorrow. We'll discuss it.
Please. Good.
Your TV show's on. Don't you want to watch?
To see how well they manage without me.
To see your mother. They just announced your mother is going to stand in for you until you're well.
Oh, she can't. My character's only 28 years old.
You know, she wants to...
I know that she wants to have an affair with Robert.
But are you sure his divorce is final?
His divorce is final?
Fade and out.
Miss Crawford, are you all right?
Oh, I'm fine. Just nervous as hell. Give me a drink and I'll be all right.
Well, you're doing swell. You just keep finding those cue cards.
Belinda, that's the problem. The cue cards are too goddamn low. Uh-huh. I tell them to bring them up higher, huh?
You all right?
Mm-hmm. Okay, go.
Don't worry about it.
Turn it off.
You lost again.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his office chair, here's Mike.
Rob, I've always wondered if we're in an exclusive club that really thinks that Mommy Dearest is a comedy.
Well, you see, this is weird. I know that probably throughout our time together, we've probably played 80% of the movie on the show in clip
form.
We've never played that clip.
That clip where that's Joan Crawford at like 60,
yes,
standing in for her daughter on a soap opera when her daughter had like appendicitis, and she looked ridiculous, but she actually really did that in real life because she was.
And you know what?
How do you go, baby?
The clips are online. You can actually see them. But the thing is, I can't put the DVD in to pull a clip without watching 45 minutes of the movie.
I know.
It's addictive.
If you've never seen Mommy Dearest, check it out. We are live from the Podcast Village Studios. Welcome, everybody. This is the Mike O'Mara Show. So nice to have you along. I've always hated that. So nice to have you along. Like, yeah, you know, like we're on a journey
together. A trip together,
maybe we are. But hey, for your first-timers, enjoy the show and welcome. Where you been? Where you been all our lives? And for those of you that support everything we do, God bless each and every one of you real good. By the way, keep the town names coming. We update them every week. We will update them every single week. This week, it's Sparks, Maryland. It's Greenberg, Indiana. Ooh. It's West Allis, Wisconsin. It's Cool, California. Ooh. Point Pleasant, New Jersey to Adelaide, South Australia. The Mike O'Mara Show is on now. And brought to you by ZipRecruiter. You know, in life, it's best to be smart. Are you smart? Huh? Of course you are.
Yes.
Still, There are job sites out there that send you tons of wrong resumes and make you sort through them. That's not smart.
That's not smart. Mike! Come on, Mike. You passed over me, Mike.
You know what is smart? Going to ZipRecruiter.com/TMOS to hire the right person. You won't be like Fredo out in the middle of Lake Tahoe on a cold, cold winter day.
Old with
a,
Fredo.
Henchman for Michael standing in back of you with a revolver. That's not you.
No.
You got to be smart. Unlike other job sites, ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates for you. Its powerful matching technology scans thousands of resumes, identifies people with the right skills, education, experience for your job, and actively invites them to apply so you get qualified candidates fast. That's why ZipRecruiter is rated number one by employers in the U.S. This rating comes from hiring sites on Trustpilot with over 1,000 reviews. And right now, our listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/TMOS. If you love this show, show your support to it and ZipRecruiter by going to ZipRecruiter.com/TMOS. Write it down, ZipRecruiter.com/TMOS. ZipRecruiter is the smartest way to hire, and we are eternally grateful to them for their support of the Mike O'Mara Show.
Bam. Everybody.
I want to talk about a project my son is doing, and my wife is involved with my son, and they are soliciting help from Oscar Santana about this. We touched on it briefly, but I bring it up because this is probably the best way for me to get the real skinny and the real information. Now, online, you see children occasionally doing unboxing videos where they get a brand new toy and they open it and they play with it and they, Frankie, shut up!
Now, don't confuse this with the other videos, because a simple missed keystroke and you're going to watch children's boxing videos. And I find them violent and abhorrent.
No, mostly in South Asia.
Yes.
Yeah, that's not cool, but certainly the way South Boston used to be.
Yeah. Little Johnny Whitaker. Yeah, get Johnny Whitaker. Get Johnny Whitaker down there. He's 7 years old. He's got a right hand like you wouldn't believe. He looks like Ali. He looks like Ali. Who's he going to be boxing? He's going to be, he's boxing Sean McNamara on Saturday.
Yeah, but not today. Yeah. It's wicked cold.
That's all right. Willie's going to come down. We're going to bring a 12-pack, and we're going to watch them. They're adorable. They're absolutely adorable
it's
when
fun.
You see these kids box.
It's fun.
They're really fit. Go, Pats! Anyway, so...
No, I don't know anything about that world. But anyway, unboxing videos. Michael watches these. And I know Carl and I might have had a discussion about it months ago about how cute this is. He could do that. You know, you always say that about your kid. Like you see your kid on a TV commercial.
Yeah.
You see you see a kid that's on there and you say, your kid could do that.
Sure.
Anyhow, the way that Mrs. O'Mara explains this to me is this was born out of Michael saying he wants to do unboxing videos. Now, he wants to do unboxing videos because he thinks that if he does unboxing videos, he will be able to get free toys.
He's not off base.
Know. Well, yeah, but these kids, I don't know anything about it, but I've heard about it that these kids apparently, in many cases, make a fine living doing unboxing videos, which their parents record, and then they go up there. And the other day, we were in Walmart in the toy aisle, and I think I saw a toy line, an entire line of toys sponsored by or a brand of this unboxing kid.
Is it Ryan?
That unboxes. It's insane.
Something like that.
Yeah, it sounds
it's
right.
It's insane. So, but I don't know where it was, but I think primarily this was born out of my son wanting to do this. So, because Oscar Santana opening new studios, trying new businesses, networking with his MBA friends, running the business side of the Mike O'Mara Show empire, minding the store at Podcast Village, running different podcasts, assisting other people, doing the Big O and Duke show, running the Horde, planning live appearances in Phoenix, Arizona, planning live appearances for the Mike O'Mara Show, contacting our main accountant, Andrew Harold, doing 500 and 600 things a day. He wanted to do one more thing,
sure,
because I knew that. He wanted to do be the guru for unboxing videos. And so my wife has been occupying his time this week, and I have not even gotten a chance to talk to him off air about it as to where that is, what he truly, because he'll tell me on this show with an unvarnished view of where we are with this. But apparently we've had two business meetings,
yeah,
Mrs. O'Mara and you,
yeah,
and I say
meeting.
We, but I have not been involved in them.
Pre-production.
And this is What's happening?
How do the meetings work? Are they video meetings? Are they teleconferences?
Oh, FaceTime.
Oh, yeah, FaceTime.
Yeah, we don't buy into the narrative that Mike O'Mara was putting out on yesterday's show that it's not safe. We FaceTimed each other. I hope you're okay with that, your son and I. Look, when people approach myself or our team here at Podcast Village with an idea, we usually ask them what their budget is and if it's viable.
That would be just because I'm a grammarian. When people approach me.
Yeah, myself is a reflexive. Myself. It's a reflexive pronoun.
When my friends are being dicks on a talk show.
But sometimes you say one that I just have to dive in.
It's not my first language. God bless you. Okay. Thank you.
When people approach me.
Okay, when people approach me or my colleagues here at Podcast Village.
Right.
Does that work?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
But don't say themselves.
All right. Or themselves.
Well, you see, that's wrong.
Right. When they approach us, the first thing we figure out if it's a viable option for the production, mm-hmm. and then we ask them what their budget is.
Okay.
Now, I know what little Michael wants to do is viable. And then, frankly, if it wasn't viable, I would still work with him because he's my godson. So is Rob's godson. Mm-hmm. So is family, right? You got to give family a shot.
And you two, both of you, have kind of been engaged with him, and it's because we all work together every day. But it's kind of neat.
Nepotism.
I never look back and regret that. I thought it was so cool that you guys were there for that.
It lives here and it's alive and well. So
do we have that on a plaque yet?
Yes.
Nepotism. It lives here.
If you're a family member or you're been baptized by God and we're now family, we will take care of you.
Yes.
So, what do you do when a 5-year-old calls you and he's cute on speakerphone with his mom and he's like, I want to do unboxing videos. And I'm like, I want to do them too. How do we work together? So I said, look, it's best we don't talk about this in the car. Why don't we have a pre-production meeting? And I wanted to teach him a little bit about formality.
When you discussed budget, did you talk to Carla or Michael?
No, there's no discussion about budget. Clearly. Oh, okay. You just figure it out.
Okay. This is not a budgetary discussion.
Yes.
I think Oscar would be smart enough to, even without consulting me, know that,
Oscar is part
unless of someone's going to sit there and tell me, you know, you do it right and, you know, the following week there'll be a bag of cash on your doorstep.
I am sending him some equipment. He's got a...
God damn it, what?
He's got a diva... Your microphone is scheduled to arrive tomorrow or the day after. Your new microphone.
Well, that's
congratulations.
For this show, which I use every day.
So that's separate. Good. But he needs...
Can we tape you unboxing your microphone?
I asked them to show me the location of where they were going to be broadcasting from. Like, what's his set? Where is he most comfortable and more genuine in? And he actually walked around your house. He's like, I like to do it where Daddy and I build our Legos. And I was like, okay, that's pretty cool.
See, right there, I never heard that. So that right now, the heart is warm.
The heart is warm. That's wonderful.
What I like to do with kids, and look, I don't know if this is wrong or right.
Daddy and I build our Legos. That just makes my,
that's very cool.
I can go home right now.
I like that.
So it's his decision. I want him to make as many decisions as possible.
I
want to
do it where Daddy and I build our Legos. Of course, I don't want Daddy around for this. Daddy's going to have to go out to the golfing place.
Daddy will be involved if this, you know, when we do the taping, obviously.
Yeah, I think so.
I'm the performer.
And I would say, Mike, to be fair, executive producer.
I can't.
No, I think director. I think I'd rather be director because he's the executive producer because he's going to be taking raw tape and turning it into something because we have that.
I had him as the producer because he was overseeing the project, but you're overseeing the entire industry of this.
Ah, yes. It's exciting.
It is.
So titles mean nothing,
fellas.
Great
time to be a 5-year-old.
It's the work that counts. So the work is for me to go through the steps and actually figure out what Michael wants. So like you would with a client, you ask them like what their interests are. Mm-hmm. Like, why are they so excited? Why are you so excited about these unboxing videos? And like a little kid, he just says, I want to get toys. Like, it's a fun exercise because they're so natural about it.
Yes.
And he alludes within that conversation. He goes, the little kid that does this for a living, he says he gets free toys. He doesn't know the kid's making millions of dollars. That doesn't quantify for him. Right.
Right.
So, and I said, okay, well, that's fun. And then we set his expectations where you say, look, we're going to do this. It's going to be fun. That's the most important thing we want to have, but it's also going to be a responsibility if you're prepared for this responsibility. So you set expectations of like what we're going to be getting into. And then during that time, I'm also giving Carla some direction with the camera to say, this is how these are the angles you're going to shoot for these unboxing videos that are going to be best for us to edit down here at Podcast Village in post-production.
So does it look like it's going to be a multi-camera shoot?
No, she's going to shoot and I don't want to get too behind the curtain here,
understood.
But she's going to shoot multiple angles of the same thing happening to give more texture to the video.
Understood. Okay.
And she'll be doing it on her own with her equipment. Now, I will send her a tripod to hold the camera she's going to be using, and she's going to get what is called a Diva ring for little Michael, and that will light him up in
a
that.
What?
A Diva ring.
What's a Diva ring?
Beyonce wears one on her right hand.
What is a Diva ring?
It is a LED light that's a halo light that little Michael can actually have in front of him on the table. And the reason why he needs that is because the lighting in your living room is where you guys build your Legos. If that's going to be the set, there's too much backlighting to him. So we need better lighting for him.
I got it. So yes. It's a lighting thing.
It's a lighting
circular light. Yes.
Okay. All right.
Now,
do you want me to go and review some of these other unboxing videos?
I actually don't. I don't want you involved in this process whatsoever because I want him
to be. Hold on. What do you mean you don't want me involved?
I want him to be as natural and genuine as possible. If you get involved, Mike, I'd love you to get involved by the third or fourth tier once you see these practice runs. Because at that point, you'll get an idea of what your son's really great at. Because if you push him into a direction, he won't be genuine. He'll be nervous.
But don't you think there's a value in Mike understanding the industry that he's about to put his toe into?
See, as much as I give your brother a hard time, you realize I communicated that to him with a look. I looked at him and he looked at me and he knew what I was thinking and then he told you and I didn't have to tell you.
Also,
because I'm like, why am I being cut out of the process?
Mike is a seasoned enough individual that he can watch a dozen unboxing videos to understand what's happening, and that doesn't mean he's going to color or flavor what Michael's doing.
Would you consider yourself a nurturer, Mike?
Yes.
Okay.
A million percent.
Okay. Mm. Well, can you be a nurturer in a field that you know very well? That you have a shorthand on, can on-demand perform.
Let me tell you how I look at this, all right? And I can't look at it any other way. And if it makes me a monster, guilty as charged.
Now, when have we ever accused you of being a monster?
Weekly.
Once a week.
About once a week. Yeah. That's a Tuesday thing.
Well, I can't lie to our listening audience and say, yes, this is a wonderful little project for him to have fun, not the way I'm processing it. My dream scenario is this would be the equivalent of scratching off a lottery ticket and seeing the 10 times with a $100,000 winner underneath. Mm. That's what I would want, because I want this to be something that, why go through all of this activity? Why have meetings when you're busy, when I'm banging on you to go get us advertisers and you're spending your day? If everybody's putting this in. By the way, my wife does not feel the same way. My wife feels this way. It's just something he wants to do for fun. Okay. Take a look at the bank account, please.
Yeah. JonBenet's parents, she just wanted to do it for fun.
So,
that was a leap. My God. Wow. Oh, my God. It's not like that either.
No, it's not.
Stop that.
I was being facetious.
Jeez.
That's awkward.
Well, that was dark.
She's dead, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
I wasn't talking about the death portion of it, Oscar. Talking about the showbiz parent portion of it.
I ask you this, not because I'm a monster, just because I'm a pragmatist. Is there upside potential? Could this be something?
He's an adorable, telegenic little kid. One in a million.
Yeah, but there is one. There's always something happening on the internet.
If you focus.
But the newness is over. The kids that have done this have now.
Saying in 1970, there's been sitcoms before. We don't need to make all
of the
family.
Look, Mike, let's be honest here. These things, what's going to happen is we're going to record the first one. We're going to bring it back to the shop in the back. We're going to give it to the editors. We're going to see what they
can. It's a lot of time that you and I are spending money for, and I don't know whether I'm going to look at some of these things and see what the production values are.
Okay.
Because I got news for you. My feeling about this is that, and by the way, he's talking all post-production, not the actual production of the videos. He's talking about taking raw tape and bringing it to our people that do stuff with it.
Our editors.
And they do
they're
a great job.
Editors,
they do it. Editors. Editors. But one in a million.
But still, there's one.
I'm not sure I like that. I think I need a new producer. I think I got to run it over to somebody that has some more of a
What about the value of him starting a project, finishing a project, seeing the end result, and then you'll have a wonderful keepsake just for you and the family. Be like, remember when you did this when you were five?
Yeah, it's good for his sizzle
reel. I can answer that, all right? I'll give you a hypothetical scenario, okay? Say we're at the top of a flight of stairs.
Okay.
Going on a little family excursion to, say, a children's museum. Mm. And Daddy goes, Daddy takes one big deep breath and goes, and then falls down the stairs, you know, mm-hmm. and he's gone.
Right.
He won't remember me. There, that's how I say that. You know, with finishing, you know what I mean? Well, I mean, at five.
That's awfully dark as well.
That's dark, too.
I don't understand. That's, can you break that down too. For me? I'm sorry. That went right
what
over
I'm
my
trying
head.
To do is figure out how to. There. That's the sound I wanted. Mute the keyboard. Dumb. Can you figure out what you're doing before you go in the studio, you ass?
Well, I thought it was on. I thought it was on mute.
No, it wasn't. It was on mute. And you're live on the air, you fat. Thank you.
So are you saying that if you do the video...
What I'm saying is that this idea of giving him the sense of accomplishment and he's 5 years old, okay?
Yeah, but I mean, you remember just, when you're five.
He still gets free cookies at the grocery
Mike,
store.
Mike,
for
a little
sake.
Book
what?
Called Outliers.
So do I if they're not looking.
A little book called Outliers, New York Times bestseller, would say otherwise, that...
You're teaching him responsibility?
Kids are always learning, even though you think they're not learning. Right. Tiger Woods sat in the garage with his father watching his father hit balls before he could even pick up a club just over and over and over and over and over again. They're processing.
Understand. All right. But I still think one in a million, huh? That's it?
Yeah, but Mike, something catches on every day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But and I want a hook. Wouldn't it be? You're the hook. You're the
hook. The hook is going to, he's going to be, you know, he's going to have an audience.
Yes.
Yeah.
He'll have an audience. Yeah. We'll definitely have people that will come to the table. But I still want it to have some sort of value for, you know, the what these things are. I want the market to be children that look at this and go, wow, what a cool toy.
You know what his hook is going to be is a catchphrase, and he's already got it. Goodbye duties. He can coin a catchphrase.
No.
It doesn't have to be that.
You, Mr. Goodbye duties.
No, I'm saying that's a I'm wonderful saying that
goodbye they, duties. You want him to speak to children and mention poop.
I'm saying that, well, you know, they'd love it. They'd find it very funny. But what I'm saying is that the catchphrase is the way to go. He's already shown the skill to making a catchphrase. He has to have some sort of lingo or hook that will make the kids
but
addicted
you wanted
to
him to say goodbye duties.
Well, that's the one that is right now. That's his catchphrase.
That would be hilarious.
It really would.
If his sign off was goodbye duties and he just stomped off.
Yeah.
Also, I have a nice spin on the end of it, Mike. As far as the end of, and this is really I thought was a different way to look at these toys.
Okay.
And I like to call it, we should trademark this. Can't believe I'm talking about it before it goes to trademark.
I'm going to mail it to myself in a sealed envelope.
Okay, perfect. The Michael score. The Michael
I like
score,
the Michael score.
The Michael score will break down an average score of what he thought about the toy, and then he'll have a leaderboard at the end of every episode.
I like that.
And that will show the
great
kids.
Great hook.
But I thought it would be cute at the beginning for him to say.
We're going
to
do it with graphics?
Yeah, that's the whole point.
Of course.
So a graphic comes up, and then a dub, his voiceover says, "This is my first toy, so this is my first Michael score, so it's number one at the moment." And then he
or
breaks
maybe
down
an announcer
why.
Voice says that.
No, it's Michael's the cute one. Stop trying
right.
to bring in Mike. Mike's got enough shine.
Hey, you know what I just thought of?
What?
This conversation's over.
Oh.
All right, anyway, let's take a little break. And,
just thought
well,
of that.
Thanks for the update.
Mommy dearest.
No, I do like the Michael score.
I do too.
You lead it rare, Michael.
Lost anyway. Again.
We'll be right back. And I'll talk about whatever I talk about. I'm completely out of sorts. We'll be right back, everybody. This is Mike O'Mara. When it became obvious that the United States was facing a different time, I, like many Americans, felt like I needed an outlet for my frustration. A place where I could express myself openly, without the burden of censorship for a divided audience. I also knew I needed someone to work with who would provide me with insights and the knowledge of a seasoned political journalist. An individual with an insider's grasp of the political world we live in. Well, the outlet is called Political Persuasions. And the seasoned insider is Mr. Chris Freitz. We host a weekly discussion of all things political that is lively, funny, informative, and sometimes controversial. Join us every week at politicalpersuasions.com and get a different perspective on a moment in history unlike any other. Very nice, Rob Spiewak. That put great. That together. That's terrific.
I felt that I was strong on my music bed game yesterday, especially when I go back to Mutual News 1960.
Mike, briefly before you get to our wonderful sponsor, this in from the peanut gallery, the control room, Maddie and Ponyboy. And I'm sorry, I know I'm breaking the fourth wall here, but it says,
what'd they say?
If little Michael gets more subscribers than big Michael, we're screwed.
Welcome back. Welcome back. I love Ring. I love the Ring technology. I've been talking about it for a while now. Ring's mission. I love the Ring doorbell. I love my Ring floodlight cam. I was watching the snowstorm up in Maine on Ring doorbell, and it's just great. You've seen the viral videos that come from Ring technology. Ring's mission to make neighborhoods safer. It's working, by the way. Ring protects millions of people everywhere. They help you stay connected to your home from anywhere in the world. It's amazing to pick up your phone, pop it on, and see your house and see what's going on and be alerted if somebody comes to your door.
That's the coolest. The fact that it's watching out for you all the time.
Right. And it might be somebody that's not belonging there. If there's a package delivery, surprise visitor, you get an alert. You'll be able to see, hear, and speak to them. I love their commercials. It's great to watch the people's like, you better get out of there. I'm calling the police. And then you can hit an alarm. It's got it all. I just go to the Ring floodlight cam and I check it out. I see who's at my back door. If I want to talk to him, I can. If I want to hit an alarm, I can. And, it just keeps you safe. Get the protection plan, by the way. All of your Ring video will be saved forever, and that equals peace of mind. As a TMOS listener, you have access to a special offer on a Ring starter kit. It's available right now. It has a video doorbell, motion-activated floodlight cam. This starter kit has everything you need to start building a Ring of security around your home. Just go to ring.com/TMOS. That's ring.com/TMOS and start living safer today. They're the gold standard.
Oh, the
I got
best.
News for you. Yeah. They're the best ones. There are other people out there trying to do it. Ring has it, and they are fantastic. Welcome back to the show. We're going to the Keys this weekend for
Keys.
Las Llaves.
Saturday going to see the sister who's been down there. And let me just say to my sister, Kathy, hey, Kat. Thanks for bringing the great weather. But anyway, we're going down there, and they've taken a little hiatus, and we're going to see them. And I'd be curious, Oscar, she's going to be like the better part of like 2 weeks down there in the
Keys.
Key
West proper? And
Key West proper. I think they've been in Key West. I don't think that's survivable down there.
No. I mean, isn't that sort of like going to Vegas for 2 weeks?
It would be kind of like when she was alive, if you had a condo in Anna Nicole Smith's liver.
Oh, no.
I mean, it's pretty, you know, like my body. It's
amazingly, it's the same size as Oscar's place.
let me say this. Yes. I was fortunate enough to go to the Keys in the middle of my pursuit of my executive MBA at Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember...
You went down there and said, no, it's not here. Gotta go home.
Getting down there and...
Oh, God, that's loud. Mike!
And I was like, well, of course, I would go into the eye of a hurricane and not the drink, but an actual party to study for these accounting finals. Mm-hmm. I thought I was just getting away. And everybody warned me, to a man, including you, Mike, though we met up after my exam, that it's like Mardi Gras, but you're in the middle of paradise all
the
time.
Even when you go, there is a vibe there that I've never seen. Even, and I include New Orleans, Louisiana.
Okay.
Which I didn't think it could be any more party central. New Orleans is over the top. Don't get me wrong. But the Keys.
So laissez-faire.
It's just a party lifestyle. You go to the Keys and go to any bar, and if you order a foo-foo drink, I mean, it's just, you'll say, oh, look at that. It's red. It's got that strawberry color. Let me take a little sip. I mean, it is party central. You remember that night we were coming out of the saloon?
Yeah,
and
the drag bar.
50, there were 50 guys that were at the drag bar. There are 50 guys on the street with their shirts off, anywhere from like 21 years old to 70.
And then there were 52.
And their hands are out going, can I have a dollar? By the way, some of them were at the grocery store last night when I went in there. And I mean, it was Marathon Florida night at our local supermarket where everybody's just like,
I've never seen what was the, I guess, a melting pot of socioeconomic, I guess, levels where you had the super wealthy.
Sure.
And then you had the super poor and poverty.
Yeah.
You have the cruise ships coming in.
And you have the tourists, and then you have people that are working, and then you have college kids, and everybody is coexisting. It is the only place in the world that I've ever been where I'm like, this is paradise, and anybody can afford to live here. They just have to choose which way they're going to live.
So it's a very strange environment. Very strange.
Geographically, it's very far in the tip of Florida. It's like the end of Florida, right?
It's the southernmost part of the United States of America.
So we got swim to Cuba.
It's a spit of land. It's literally a little spit of islands.
So
the Keys.
The theory would be is, I mean, the same thing they say about, you know, why there is such a diverse lifestyle in the cities of California. People were driven west when they had, you know, differing views or something, or they didn't fit in. And that's as far west as you can go is California. I imagine you got a similar thing where this is as far south as you can go.
It's similar, but their pursuit was not to a different lifestyle. It was the pursuit of the party.
Alcoholism.
And let me tell you how I figure it works.
That's a lifestyle.
I love the Keys.
You start in New York City, right? And the party ends in New York City, so you go to Philadelphia. Then you go to Philadelphia, and then you go to Washington, D.C.
You skip Baltimore?
You skip Baltimore, please. Please.
Drive through.
Yes.
How'd you get that Baltimore. Fish in your coat?
Baltimore.
Domino. And
you get down to, then you get Jacksonville, you go down to Miami, and then you find it's like there's another party down south. It appears to me that there is, I would like to see what the cigarette sales are. You know, progressively as you go down through the Keys, but it is a very special place. And I just don't picture my sister and my brother-in-law being down there for like 14 days. No. I don't see that happening, but we're going to be.
You think they're
going to
be all
weekend.
Jimmy Buffetted out by the time you get down there? They'll be totally changed.
Oh my God, wouldn't that be special?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, if I walked in and was just like, hey, man, what's happening? Hi, Paul. Hey, what's happening, man? Paul's sitting there in his underwear drinking a White Russian. Yeah. Oh, God, nothing would make me happier. I'd be excited if that happened. That would be really special, you know? Hey, when do you go back to work? I don't know, man. I haven't given it much thought. That's something would never come out of his mouth.
What's work?
That's for sure. Yeah, what's work? Yeah, no need to think about work down here, man. You should have seen the sunset.
And also one of the most friendliest places I've ever been to in my life. When I went down there, Shannon had to work, so she went 3 days after I did.
Uh-huh.
So I went early, and a friend let me stay in their home at the time, so it wasn't... The going early wasn't a big deal for us. And I remember going to a bar at one point and being like, oh, this is going to be so depressing. You're in the Keys and you're alone.
Yeah.
No. Like 2 minutes later, some guy sidles up and he's like, and I'm talking to some German guy and he's just getting hammered and his wife's there. And then they got kids getting hammered next to them. They're in their 20s.
Wow.
And they have their wives with them. It is the easiest place to make friends, but also probably the easiest place to lose yourself.
Well, we're not taking a boat down there. Now, it would be easy to take a little ferry boat, 2.5 hours. No, we're doubling that time. We're going down by car. And you want to know why we're going down by car? Don't want to be trapped down there. Don't want to be trapped. Want to get out of there. Want to extricate myself from there. Mm. Don't want to have a set time where I got to be on a boat. And if the boat has a problem, it's not going to be. I don't want to get trapped down there. And I have a full report on
Monday.
Do
the ferries have a bad reputation as far as maintenance?
Well, we were the only it time we took it is we went out. We were 10 minutes out of the harbor. And, you know, the boat went.
Ladies and gentlemen, we've lost our starboard engine, and unfortunately, it's going to slow our time down, and it doubled the time.
Oh boy!
And my sister also said that with the weather we have down here, that it's a little roly-roly on the way, and I don't want to deal with that for 2.5 hours.
Is this going to be Little
Friday,
Michael's
late Friday, and we get back early Sunday? I'll
Little Michael's second time in the Keys, because he came down the first time when we met up. He was a little baby.
Little Michael will be staying. With family.
Oh!
Yes!
Yes! Do some clapping push-ups.
I'll give you a full report and let you know what's happening with that. He'll be doing a, what do they call those charts where they, he'll be doing the storyboard for his unboxing videos all weekend.
Lighting design.
Never too early to start work. All right, everybody, we'll take a break. Come back with more fun. I want to know, where the hell are you hiding the interns?
Oh, yeah. Mm.
We'll do that when we come back on the Mike Romero Show.
Let's go back, let's go back.
For your consideration.
Brie, American, Gouda, mild cheddar, camembert, provolone, baby bell, parmesan, mascarpone, burrata, feta, ricotta, gruyere, asiago, gorgonzola, Havarti, Monterey Jack, Stilton, Swiss, Fontina, pecorino romano, and buffalo mozzarella.
She didn't name all of the cheeses, but she named enough of the cheeses. She's Madeline Masiello. The Queen of Cheese. Only on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Oh, I love getting surprises. That's like Daddy got a present today. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Brought to you by Cornerstone. Face it.
What?
Figuring out how to buy a house is complicated. And it's scary. Do you understand what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Do you understand how refinancing works? Do they teach you that here?
Brad.
But we don't we don't need to know, really, because the folks at Cornerstone First, they know about that stuff. So you can just sit there and eat cookies. Even better, they are friends of the Mike O'Mara Show. So when they find out that you love TMOS too, they're going to treat you like old friends. You don't have to worry about the purchase or the refi because Cornerstone First Financial's got you covered, and they'll get you the lowest rates guaranteed. At this moment, right now, here, I'm in control, gentlemen. Mortgage rates are low, home values are up, so the time to act is right now. Call Cornerstone First Financial to check your credit and get pre-qualified. Let them take care of you. You can refinance now and skip your March payment. Licensed in Maryland, Virginia, D.C., Georgia, Florida, and Colorado. Click their banner on our website. Visit cornerstonefirst.com or call them. Here's the number. Get a pen out. Write it down. Come on. Get it out of your purse.
Get it.
Come on. 866-625-1221. Cornerstone First Financial, personal attention from application to closing. Before we get to the intern update, yeah. I just want to tell a brief story. Mrs. O'Mara has been doing work down here at the food bank because she's good that way and she likes to do it. But there was a mean lady at the food bank yesterday. Mm. She was being trained to work at the front desk of the food bank. And the front desk is the, you know, ground zero. It's where people in a very difficult situation come and get food because they want to feed their families.
I would say, Mike, that is the director of First Impressions.
Well, the director of First Impressions, who was going to train my wife, was the director of Bitchitude.
Oh, no.
No.
And Carla could handle the bitchitude towards her because she's smart enough to realize it's not about her. What she couldn't handle was the bitchitude being leveled at the customers coming in, the people that are hurting and that needed that. And at one point, she got up and told the director who was in the back room, I got to take a break from this lady. Can you imagine that? 2 or 3 days at this place.
Wow.
And because now, listen, I just want to say this. Even if you're doing good, and we ran into a lady like this. I don't know if I told you years ago when we were doing Feed the 5,000 and we were making Thanksgiving dinners for people, and there was this just certified witchy woman who was back there running the show. And because you're doing good doesn't allow you to be an a-hole to everybody. It doesn't. It's not. You're not exempt from being civil to human beings, especially the human beings that are coming in and need help.
Yeah.
And Carla got to critical mass with it and rolled out. She'll be going back, but she wanted to, you know, say, please, you know, keep that lady away from me because Carla's a little tough. I've been the on the receiving end of that. And it's just it's the second
and it's a volunteer lady that went in there and was just a bitch on wheels. I don't get
it. I'm just curious. I bring this up because I'm wondering for people there. We have a lot of do-gooders in our audience, a lot of people that work for organizations. And I wonder if anybody else, now that it's happened twice to us, that we've encountered these wizened old battle axes that behave badly. I'm very curious if anyone else is aware of people like this that work in that kind of environment. Because my feeling is this. Do you think there's a chance that the act of doing good, of helping other people, of being a philanthropist, of being a do-gooder, makes them feel like they're exempt from being genuinely kind to their fellow man? Do you understand where I'm getting at?
Yeah, like if there is,
I'm just curious whether anybody else around the country has experienced something like that. I'm just kind of curious.
I also
got to
wonder, you know, I've done some volunteer stuff in the past, and normally when you're doing it, you have an inner feeling of good. There's an awareness that you're doing
the
right thing.
Yeah, you're kind of jacked.
So, could she possibly be there against her will?
I doubt that.
But I mean, it's
like
a volunteer
program.
Yeah, something. Or, like she's doing hours to pay off a parking ticket or something?
It's just the people, this one lady, my only experience was with a lady during Thanksgiving 2 years back, where I was just like, whoa, what's the deal? Why are you being such a biatch? Yeah. What's the deal with that? Why so mean? Why so many? And then it sounded, I said to Carla yesterday, I said, was this like the lady that was there? She said, exactly. It was the same personality. And I'm just curious whether these people, and nobody gives them any crap, because they're thinking about the greater good? I don't know what it is. I don't know. But
hey, you know, that might be something.
Like, you couldn't exist like that in the real world, what I'm saying.
And in the real world, you get paid for your time. And yeah. Mike, you know what really would help everyone here is if Carlo said, look, a little less food for my soul, a little more food for the household.
Yeah. Feed the wallet.
Boy, look at that. We're on a break. We're up on a break.
Already?
What a shame that happened. I wish I could say something, but
it's the financial food bank.
I'm simply out of time. We're gonna have to make that the last word for this segment. Hi, everybody. I'm Mike O'Mara. This is the Mike O'Mara Show. And we will take a short break, and I will come back with news you may not need.
Yay.
That's right. Can't say anything else. No more. Segment over. We'll be right back.
In the 1870s, Buffalo Bill Cody returned to Iowa to make his fortune in the search for the world's biggest strawberry. At his side was his trusty Colt revolver, and trailing his covered wagon was his trusty sidekick, Little Steve, riding his Palomino Llama with its Romanian hand-tanned gypsy saddle. Well, time marched on. Buffalo Bill left Iowa, but Little Steve stayed behind and bought a radio station, KCJJ, the mighty 1630, known far and wide for its music, information, and the place for great deals on dining room furniture in Iowa City, molasses. Today, Little Steve is all grown up, and at 93, is known as Captain Steve. He's replaced the llama with a microphone. You don't have to salute him, you just have to listen to him every morning and occasionally bring him a cookie. Start your day with Captain Steve and Jim Hunter right here on the mighty 1630 KCJJ from 5 a.m. until they can't feel their toes, and bring him a cookie.
Thank you very much.
Great.
Boy, oh boy.
Excellent.
Boy, oh boy. Excellent. You know, listen, I write them sometimes and I voice them, but then Rob puts them together, and that's the mwah, c'est magnifique. Boy, some good new stuff this week.
Yeah,
I love that.
Strong.
Means that, you know what? You know what that tells me, Rob? We got to do more of it. We
agree.
To just see what sticks to the wall.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
I agree.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. I'm sure you know this by now, but if you need anything, and I mean anything, you can get it at MikeOMaraShow.com. Our site features Macy's, Target, and Walmart. And when you shop these retailers through our portal, you're supporting the Mike O'Mara Show, and that makes everybody happy. So, if you're a 59-year-old man and you're getting ready to launch a career of making unboxing videos, that's the place to be. Just clickety-clack click and take a digital trip to the TMOS Shopping Center. It has everything. Have your toys brand new delivered to your home and film yourself unboxing them. Soon you'll be a top influencer and a rich YouTube sensation. That's a bingo, you ass. That's a bingo. Just don't tell your son.
Oh!
So, shop, shop, shop. Just make sure that you start your shopping at the banners on our website. It costs you nothing, but it means the world to us. Macy's, Target, Walmart, and TMOS, because every girl and boy deserves a brand new shiny toy.
News.
Boo. Last night, the NFL abruptly canceled Maroon 5's Super Bowl halftime show press conference.
What?
Mm-mm.
It's been a tradition for years, so there's speculation that this year's was canceled so that Maroon 5, Travis Scott, and Big Boi wouldn't have to address Colin Kaepernick and the national anthem controversy. Really? That's what they think? Yeah, it says seriously.
Are you
what
sure it's not because no one cares about Maroon 5?
I'm not sure.
Okay, just to give you a little background, most of the artists that were asked initially to perform at the Super Bowl said no. And
right.
They cited the idea that Kaepernick and the ideals and the overall, viewpoint that the NFL has taken about Kaepernick and his social injustice.
They didn't want to be a part of it.
They didn't want to be a part of it. So they went as far as Travis Scott, if I'm not mistaken, had $500,000 donated by the NFL to a charity that of his choice in order to almost soft sell the situation that he's actually performing there.
Here's where the NFL's dumb. Here's where the NFL says, we'll avoid the controversy by canceling the press conference, and then you create the controversy by canceling the press conference.
Mm-hmm.
Duh. Officially no real comment, of course. Yeah, the NFL can kiss my ass. Really. I mean, with their whole control the world mentality.
Yeah.
You know, it's a football game, all right? It's a game with a bouncing ball. Yes, it's made billions of dollars, but it's a game with a bouncing ball. So just get your act together. Stop being so stupid and figure out how to officiate your own contest.
At risk of making an official comment, we have decided it unwise for Maroon 5 to talk to the press.
I think the best course of action would be to cancel the press conference because we're scummy.
No comment from the NFL.
Big boy, instead, stay home.
The NFL said the Axe want to let their show do the talking. Oh, bite me. I might boycott. I swear to God, I'm so close to saying to hell with it. To saying to hell, what am I going to lose by not watching?
Because we do a national podcast / radio show.
I don't care. It's not radio anymore. We have our podcast. I'm not going to lose listeners if I come in and say I boycotted the football game.
Remember what I said? Low ratings.
I'm getting fed up with all this crap, and I don't like the way the NFL handles the situation. I don't like the way they ran the games when we were there, and we were there at like nine of them. Ugh. When we saw with an eyewitness with the tier class cast system that the NFL has, they can bite me.
You have a lavender button. You need a light purple button to get here.
Yeah, it just sucks.
I think if you boycott really for
football
this reason, you're
stupid.
Just,
men hurling their bodies at each other.
I mean, I would say you're just as bad as people saying that initially the people kneeling were disrespecting the flag.
Well,
they boycotted.
I just, you know what it is for me? This is not necessarily issue driven as much as I hate the way the NFL plays their little games and they spin their webs. Yep. I really don't like it. But look, I love the game itself. I do. Don't get me wrong. I love the game. I hate the people that run the game. I hate the money people and the bureaucrats behind the game. Yeah. And these little dicks that are in suits that start at 25 and I just think they're the most important people in the world. People behind organized sports organizations are garbage. They really are. Most of the time, these people are just so completely over the top self-important.
Well,
they drive me nuts.
Most of them are. Most
me.
Of them
yes.
are. Not Dan Snyder.
Not everybody.
Not Dan Snyder. I love the picture of his yacht that I saw.
Oh, the yacht
week.
Looks so cool. With an IMAX theater.
What a wonderful
an IMAX theater.
Wonderful
on his own
feature
boat.
And an engine block heater.
You know, the only thing I was thinking, I had one word pop into my head when I was looking at that picture. I was going, sinkable? Ashton Kutcher.
If there's
tweeted
a way for
out
him to
his,
sink, he'll figure it out.
Ashton Kutcher. It's another one that ticked me off a little bit. He tweeted out his phone number yesterday, claiming that he missed real connection with real people, my community. He added, quote, "From now on, you can just text me. I won't be able to respond to everyone, but at least we can be real with each other, and I can share the unedited latest and greatest in my world." Then he did it. He texted out his phone number. Not going to give it to you. He later deleted the tweet and replaced it with another one, claiming that he was slammed with responses and that he'd repost it again soon. Not surprisingly, there's a catch. Hey, Ashton.
Yeah.
Ashton is promoting a startup called Community, which is a new service that allows big-name subscribers to send messages to their fans and followers.
I did not text him, but I considered texting him. New phone, who does?
It might be... It might be the time of year where I get to that moment where I get frustrated with people.
Yeah.
Because I always feel like somebody's playing. Don't you feel like sometimes that you just can't get away from being played?
You have many more years as far as your exposure to the Super Bowl. You've been to multiple Super Bowls. You've been down this road before, and you can smell a rat at any point. So, this time of year, I get where you're coming from. I have a completely different experience because I'm still in the space where I want to watch the game. I want to watch the commercials. It's still not, I'm not burnt
but
on
the,
it
with
yet,
the Ashton
right?
thing on the front, I just feel like
Ashton
is being manipulated. You're being manipulated with the press conference.
Yes.
You know, it's just
of
like
course.
They're not giving, so what?
Mike, I have an invite out to what was a legendary receiver to come on the show before the Super Bowl. So we'll find out here within, I think, the next 2 hours of the show.
Oh, cool.
Are the initials SM?
Yes!
I'd love to do that. He
yes.
goes to Podcast Village all the time.
I think it's timely, and it's
yeah,
overdue.
And then, you know, get him in here, talk about what it's like, and talk about, has he been to a Super Bowl? I think he's been to a Super Bowl. Has he? I'm not sure.
I'll have to double check. He definitely went, he's been all pro, and he's played for 11 seasons. He played for the Jets for the first 4 years, and then he played for the Redskins for the next seven. But I don't think he was there. No, he
that's
went.
A,
I think
that's
he
not
went,
a bingo.
I think he went through No less than 11 quarterbacks throughout his whole career, and he still put up the numbers he did, which is pretty phenomenal.
Yeah. I'd love to just talk about the game.
Yes.
Moving right along, Gwyneth Paltrow is being sued for a hit and run on a ski slope.
Oh,
Gwyneth Paltrow is like rivaling Justin Bieber to get into news you may not need. Back in 2016, Gwyneth was skiing at the Deer Valley Resort in Park City, Utah, when she allegedly plowed into a 44-year-old man named Terry Sanderson.
Terry!
Sounds like a British actor.
Hello!
Oh, you've broken my femur. In his lawsuit, he says he was knocked out, suffered 4 broken ribs, Jesus, and needed brain surgery.
What, Gwyneth?
According to a local ordinance, a skier in this situation is required to stop and offer assistance and to also give their name and address to an employee. Gwyneth did neither. She just took off. Sanderson also says
she gave them Ashton Kutcher's phone number.
Sanderson says the instructor who was teaching Gwyneth to ski signed an incident report falsely claiming she wasn't at fault, even though he didn't see the accident.
What?
Sanderson wants more than $3 million. Gwyneth issued a statement saying, quote, "This lawsuit is completely without merit and we expect to be vindicated. Brain surgery, skiing instruction, I smell a rat."
Oh, yeah.
I truly, truly smell a rat.
But to be fair, Gwyneth Paltrow also completely without merit.
That's most of the country is an icebox right now because of the polar vortex. Here are 7 weird things your body does in freezing cold weather. Number 1, it immediately redirects blood away from your extremities and toward your vital organs. As soon as the cold air hits you, your blood vessels contract. That's why your hands and feet tend to feel cold at first. It's your body's way of keeping your core temperature up. Number 2, you get goosebumps. Number 3, you start to shiver. Number 4, you start feeling confused. Number 5, you eventually stop shivering, and that's when you know you have severe hypothermia.
Oh, wow.
And you stop shivering. It's also when people feel the need to lie down, which is dangerous. That's why, you know, you go to sleep and you freeze to death.
Yeah.
Right around then, some people also get so confused and out of it, they feel the urge to take their clothes off for some reason, which obviously isn't a good idea.
Pony.
We know Oscar's coworker on Big Owen Dukes.
Yes.
Grab T-shirt, does it, whether it's warm or cold.
Yeah, all the time.
Layers, shirts off.
He stopped shivering years ago.
All the time. Number 6, your skin and the tissue under it literally starts to freeze.
That's gross.
That's what frostbite is, and it can happen in as little as 5 minutes in sub-zero temperatures. If you're not wearing a hat, your ears are one of the first things to go.
Oh.
And number 7, you can go temporarily blind. When your body temperature falls far enough, the blood vessels in your eyes start to contract, which can make you go blind, but it's usually just temporarily.
Mm. Wow.
It's like your just body shuts down
before you die.
That's right.
Scary, isn't it? So there it is. Beware, people out in the Midwest.
Please be careful.
Scraping a ton of snow, a little something now. Right. Scraping a ton of snow off your windshield is the worst, but you know it's safer than driving without scraping off the snow. The police in Scotland pulled over a guy early on Tuesday because he was driving with a thick layer of snow covering his entire windshield, and he'd only cleared off a square in front of the driver's side so he could see. He wound up getting a ticket, and he'll have to go to court, but he was allowed to return to his home in Lazyburg. There you go. That's right. He's lazy. Where's his energy? Maybe he needs a sports drink. He also told the cops that, "You can give me a ticket, but you'll never take my freedom." Yeah. The Scottish jokes are fast and furious on the Mike O'Barry Show. We'll take a break. Come back with the audio vault and Rob Spiewak right here.
Hi, this is Tom Rogal. I like to get my news anywhere I can. That's why I love to listen to the Mike O'Barry Show. And my favorite way to consume it is on Spotify. Because Spotify is young and cool. And I'm young and cool. Just like Chuck Todd. So go to Spotify and search the Mike O'Barry Show. It's the best, even better than a transistor radio or a hula hoop. TMOS on Spotify. I'm Tom Brokaw, and I'm old.
Thank you very much, Tom. Welcome back to the Mike O'Barry Show. January 30th. Are you kidding me? No way, Jose.
What?
Really?
What?
But the calendar doesn't lie. The 30th is upon us, which means it's Martyrs' Day in India.
It is.
Also, we remember today as the anniversary of the death of the sexiest of the Wright brothers, Orville. Rawr. His life flight ended in 1948 when he died of a broken heart. Why? What were you drinking? Why?
His life and flight.
Why? His life flight ended in 1948
right,
when he died of a broken heart.
Broken
Why
heart.
Was he so sad?
Why so sad, Orville Wright?
Why so sad, Orville? Because he never got to hear the bonus show, bitches. You see, podcasting was just starting in 1948 and Orville missed out. Are you sad because you don't subscribe to the bonus show? You're missing out on extra content every week, you moron. Remember, the future of our show depends on it. It's the most fun we have each week, and it still has that yummy flavor that screams, Biplane! Just go to MikeOMaraShow.com, click the bonus banner, you'll get access to all our bonus content, and you'll be helping TMOS, so please, buy it. It's a first-class ticket flight of fun, or something. We thank you. Let's open up Audio Vault today. It is January 30th. This is the last day of January.
No, we have one more. It's the penultimate.
We might have a 31st.
Mike,
I don't know.
Confirmed while we were on that break, Santana Moss from the Santana Moss Show will, and your Washington Redskins will be here tomorrow morning for the 9 a.m. taping.
Fantastic.
He will panel with us before the actual Super Bowl.
The big game.
Love it.
That's fantastic. I'm a big fan, and what a talent. God, what an amazing receiver.
He's flying in early for Miami just to be able to do this, so that's great.
Oh, very excited. Yeah, will he be going to the game, do you know? Will he be
I'm
attendance?
Not 100% sure. I just know that he's been wanting to come on the show for some time, and we finally were able to schedule something out, so that's great.
Looking forward to it.
So when we went into the break, we were playing Yamo Be There, which is a duet between James Ingram and Michael McDonald. James Ingram, we lost yesterday, age 66, battling brain cancer for some time. One thing I respected about James Ingram is not only an amazing voice, scored big hits with duets. And I like when singers do duets. Because
what
I think
a great it, one. This one was one of my favorites.
Linda Ronstadt.
That was a duet, baby. You know what? Sung really super
I love that
fun.
Song.
I saw Under the Wire,
really underrated kind of right. I mean, he was on and going had wire, smash hits. Say. Don't get me wrong, but boy, God, what a great voice! Really, I'm glad he's getting a little attention now because he deserves it. That's a too young to lose him.
And if you read the obits and the people remembering him, he is universally regarded as a good guy, not just a good singer. So it's a sad way
Got
to go.
So many hits, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
His voice kind of defined this
Massive.
Genre.
And you don't, I didn't recognize the name. Like, I felt I was ashamed. And I started going
You recognize the songs.
Now I do. I was just like,
Yeah. Anyway. Just 66 is way too young.
Way too young.
Way too young. There's a new movie coming out called Velvet Buzzsaw. And Jake Gyllenhaal, which is it?
Gyllenhaal
is promoting it with the director. And in this clip, the director has a massive mispronunciation of the word melancholy. And the way that Jake...
Which do you think is worse, his mispronunciation of melancholy or your mispronunciation of Jake Gyllenhaal's name?
I think his is worse.
Is it Gyllenhaal or Maddie? What is it?
Gyllenhaal.
Because, by the way, the reason Maddie knows that is the same reason my wife knows that. Jake Gyllenhaal is very popular.
Yeah, he is. He's hot, Mike.
He's a Hollywood sexy symbol.
He's hot.
Now, when the director mispronounces melancholy, Jake corrects him in a way that makes me think they might not have the best relationship.
Oh, good.
Or at least it was not a good day. So here is the press conference for Velvet Buzzsaw.
Many sides, Trinae, that haven't been shown on film. I know I wanted the world to see them. Soulful, spiritual. She has a touch of melancholy once in a while.
It's melancholy.
Oh, it's melancholy. I'm sorry. You guys get that word wrong.
You're so good.
That is not the first time today.
That is not. What the hell?
Melancholy.
So, it sounds like you got to play that again because right at the end, it goes, not the first time today. So it sounds like he's doing these interviews and saying the same thing
over and over again. Yeah.
Melancholy.
I feel better about my day today.
Where do you punt melancholy?
You can't
from?
Have everything, Mike. You can't be hot.
Many sides, Trinae, that haven't been shown on film. I wanted the world to see them. Soulful, spiritual. She has a touch of melancholy once in a while.
It's melancholy.
Oh, it's melancholy. I'm sorry. You guys get that word wrong.
You're so good.
That is not the first time today.
You know?
What a dick.
But a dope.
But funny.
If he got corrected once and he keeps doing it.
Melancholy.
He's the director, right?
Yes.
That's why he keeps doing it. Nobody tells him what to do.
All right. Yeah. There you go. He makes it happen.
Yesterday was, they don't call it media day anymore at the Super Bowl, but it's media day. And that's when you get some of the goofier moments because they make the players and the coaches.
You guys have some great memory of media day in the Radio Row days, right?
Yeah, we used to hijack people and misbehave. And I hated it. I hated it like nobody hated it. I hated a lot of stuff during that period.
No, you know.
And it got so bad at the end. It got so bad at the end because then the last time we went down there, it was about 75 radio stations fighting over 10 bad guests. Mm. Now, at the beginning, it wasn't so bad.
We'd be sitting across from Mike and the Mad Dog. Mm-hmm. And I remember looking at the Mad Dog, who now, is it Mike Greenberg? Is that the Mad Dog?
No.
They run together. The sidekick sports guys are all, I just want to say, this is what I really think, and that boxing guy
Mike Francesca?
Exactly the same way. And so that, you know, and I would sit across, and I remember, because you know you have long commercial breaks, and we had really long ones at WJFK. I'd be sitting there going, man, I wonder, I just rolled a hand grenade under that desk that they're broadcasting from and watched them blow up to the sky. Anyway, no, it was just
I remember staring with fascination at the Fabulous Sports Babe.
Yeah, see, that's a long time ago. I don't remember her.
We
gave her a much harder time than she ever gave us.
That's true. That's true. I don't know that we ever really encountered her.
Much. Massive.
But my favorite memory, and it was one of the last times we did the show down there, is you closed every interview with some pretty big stars. You'd say,
right,
before you go, would you like our autograph? And you had photographs that you would sign for
that
them.
Some of them took it.
Yeah, some of them really did.
That's fun.
Right. All right. But this is probably the best question that Coach Belichick got yesterday.
Coach, WAF Boston. It's a kind of a unique question with the social media. Could I come up there and take a selfie with you, Coach? Would that be okay?
Yeah. Yeah, we'll get that later, all right?
Is it maybe if I just got in front of the podium and you waved?
So these are sports guys that are trying to be shock jocks.
Yeah, I think
that's
so.
That's what they're trying
because
to do.
Because there's no shock jocks anymore.
That's such a refreshing change from all the ass kissing that goes on. I'd chuckle at that. I like that. You know, he's
nervous. You almost heard Coach Belichick smile when he said, "Yeah."
Yeah. Hey, tomorrow, remind me. Speaking of Coach Belichick, the guy that I embarrassed myself in front of by throwing my golf club.
Yes.
I had another embarrassing moment. It's when somebody intimidates you and you're trying to impress them, you seem to see them at the times when you're up. Which I did again.
I apologize for our clock management. We'll talk cockroaches tomorrow, okay?
Oh, very good.
No, we're going to close with this. This is very clever thing. Did you know there's a brand of hummus that's called Me Too?
Really?
Yeah, this is the worst named product since AIDS diet candy, but Me Too hummus.
A hummus brand in England called Me Too will be changing its name of 14 years after the company suffered a significant drop in sales, possibly due to the Me Too anti-harassment movement. We feel your pain, said the owners of Toys R Kelly.
That's your magic audio ball. Have a good Wednesday, everybody.
Toys R Kelly. That's funny. That's silly funny. Another one in the can. Thanks for joining us for another riveting episode. We appreciate it. Don't forget our Tuesday mailbag. You send anything you want. Doesn't have to be birthdays. Just you want to bloviate. Go ahead. Rob with two B's at MichaelMarishow.com. Buy the bonus show. The banners are up there. Support Target, Walmart, and Macy's. All our affiliate programs. You just click on the banner. We got our sponsors up there on the website, too. Mm-hmm. You click on those. That's how you get to our sponsors. We've got wonderful, wonderful products available at MichaelMarishow.com. And that is the engine that keeps this show going. For Oscar Santana and Rob Spiewak, Mike O'Mara thanking you for your continued amazing support of the best part of your day, the Mike O'Mara Show. So long, everybody.
Melancholy.
Ciao, ciao.
Before you go, please make a mental note. Today's show was made possible by the TMOS bonus packages. You can secure yours right now by going to MikeO'MaraShow.com and clicking on the red bonus banner. Buy it or give it. Either way, you're helping out TMOS, and that's a good thing. Thank you, and go in peace.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Okay.
Come on.
That's going to do it for all of us here at Channel 4 News. You stay classy, San Diego. I'm Ron Burgundy.